Well, good evening, folks. Only God can turn a mess into a message, a test into a testimony, a trial into a triumph, and a victim into a victory. I would like to thank the pastor this evening for the opportunity to share with you a word of testimony. I would like to thank each and every single person here this evening for coming along. If it's your first time, don't worry, we won't bite. Glory to God, it's great to see so many friends amongst the congregation this evening. A massive thank you to the good people of Abbots Cross, my dear brothers and sisters in the Lord, for accepting me into your family, the family of God. I would like to thank the organisations within the church, ran by Andrew, for the numerous hours of teachings, discipleship and fellowship. It has helped me massively in my early days of Christianity and in my early stages of my walk with God. I would like to thank Trevor and Esther Galanders for their continued support, physically, mentally, emotionally, and most importantly, spiritually. And if it wasn't for all of your help at this early stage, folks, who knows, I might have been standing before you this evening in a white suit, gold teeth, crocodile boots, shouting glory. Last but not least, folks, I would like to thank the Saviour of my soul. Not only has God saved my soul, but he's kept my soul. You see, the devil is the enemy of your soul and will try to discourage you at every given opportunity. Don't allow it. I myself was that lost that not even Google Maps could find me. I'm so thankful to God that I am no longer a prisoner of the devil. I am no longer a slave of sin. I am no longer spiritually dead or lost. I am no longer a sitting duck for the devil to prey on, but I've been taken captive by the love of God. For the first time in my life, I've been taken captive without a set of handcuffs. Quite often in testimony, folks, it is easy to give the devil airtime, which he doesn't deserve. It is easy to glorify the wretch to society I once was. I can bring to surface all dark corners of my life whilst admitting, indulging, and enjoying sin-sick activities. I don't want to do that this evening. Instead, I plan to give a testimony of God's saving grace at my exact time of need. I just sit you right in the centre of sin and pride, and I am only a small part of my testimony. And all praise, honour, and glory goes rightfully to the Saviour of the world, Jesus Christ. Praise God, he sent his Son into this world not to condemn it, but to save it. He not only saved me on the 22nd of June, he saves me daily, every single day from the life that I used to live. And if you're a friend of Jesus, he'll save you from the wrath that's about to come. My worth is not in what I own, not in the strength of flesh and bone, but in the costly wounds of love at the cross. My worth is not in skill or name, in win and loss or pride or shame, but in the blood of Christ that flows at the cross. It's wonderful this evening, folks, that we can gather on the Lord's Day in the Lord's house in the presence of the Lord and share what the Lord has done in my life. Charles Spurgeon once said, God is good and does good for our good. So now might be a good time, if you have a seatbelt, to put one on, as my life was anything but straightforward. Christianity is the only gathering in the world where the original founder attends every meeting and is the only religion in the world where it is God seeking man. And here's how God found me. Sam Workman once said, never be ashamed of who you are, what you've done or where you've came from, as God can often use our biggest mistakes or even nightmares for a celebration and for his glory. No man is judged on when he enters the world, but on how he leaves it. My name is Graham Carlo Bingham. Don't ask where Carlo comes from, because I'm about as much Italian as a fish supper. I'm 26 years old. I was born on the 1st of August 1992, but born again of the Spirit of God on the 22nd of June 2018. I was born and reared in Rathcoole, later moving to Monkstown. I have three sisters and two brothers, and I'm the best looking one out of them all. At least that's what my mum tells me when none of the rest of them are around. God blessed me abundantly with the gift of a son, and he goes by the name of Archie Bingham. I am so grateful to God for giving me the responsibility of being a father to a happy, healthy, little boy. Archie was born on the 16th of November 2016 at 6:30, weighing £7.8. I would love to stand here this evening, folks, and say that I went to BB, went to Sunday school, and was safe from a young age and lived happily ever after. But that term, happily ever after, only ever seems to appear in Disney films. Folks, my life was anything but perfect, hence why I needed saved from it. And who better to put your trust in than the Saviour of the world? Throughout my life, I've had some close calls on life or death situations. I've had some near misses, and I've faced some avalanche challenges. But throughout, I have no doubt God had his hand upon me for other purposes and for moments like this, and concurrently he was designing my character. Behind all my misbehaving, mistakes and mishappens, there was a broken young boy who just wanted to be loved for what I was and not what anybody else wanted me to be. One of the hardest things I've ever had to live with is mourn the loss of a loved one who is actually still alive. Again, I believe God taught me a huge lesson from being rejected, and it was to never turn my back on anybody. I was born into a broken home. My father left us when my mother was 6 months pregnant with me and Natasha was 1 year old. My father reappeared in my life, but only ever briefly, for short periods of time and never consistently. He did try to help me many times and I'm thankful for that, but it was too little too late and eventually he gave up on me. My mother is an amazing woman, and I'm not just saying that as I'm afraid of her locking the doors tonight and not letting me into the house. I say that because throughout my life she's always did her best to guide, provide and love me unconditionally. She has never left my side and never looked down on me, never frowned at anything that I've done wrong, condemned me or judged me, or for any of my errors or wrongdoings. She never gave up on me, and for that I love her more than words dare to explain. We didn't have much as back then in the early days of my life, but then again, I don't think anybody did. We had zero help from extended family, and life was a bit of a struggle in the early years. They say when life gets tough, the tough get going, and you can be assured my mother got going. One story that pops to my mind was whenever I was a young boy, I wanted a set of golf clubs, and my mother couldn't afford the golf clubs, but she went and pawned the jewellery off her hands and off her wrists to get me the golf clubs I needed. So that spoke volumes to my heart of the sort of person that my mother was. I attended the Belfast City Mission in Rathcoolham as a member of the 16th Newton Abbey Boys Brigade. We won various trophies over the years, ranging from football, marching and athletics. And a special memory I have was, there was a gentleman who actually was in attendance at this church called Sammy Hunter. His son is Davy Hunter, who's now the captain of the 16th Newton Abbey. For many years, myself and Sammy, who lived in East Way, we used to walk back and forth to and from BB. He used to chat to me about the things of God. He used to pray with me, and then he used to leave me home after BB. For many, many years, we've done that, and I genuinely believe that's when my seed was planted with God. Whenever I was saved then, I reached out to Davy Hunter and made it my business to go and tell him the good news that I'd been saved. And he says we should go and tell my dad. Now, his dad was in the nursing home on the Doak Road there. Now, Sammy is no longer with us. He has gone to be with the Lord. But I went into the nursing home and spoke to him. And I told him the news. Now, he wasn't really able to say much, but his face lit up the room. So that was a real special moment for me. I thoroughly enjoyed playing football as a youngster and represented Lochside, Crusaders, St Andrews, Green Island and Rathfern Rangers. Now that you think about it, folks, I had more clubs than Tiger Woods. I must have only gone for the free tracksuits. My favourite holiday as a child was in America when I went to Universal Studios and all the theme parks, and my worst holiday was Socoma in Spain. The reason why I say it was my worst holiday, the first day the tour rep was going round on the speaker saying there was a penalty competition down on the beach, so I darted off. My mum screaming, "Graham, sun cream." Gives me no chance. All I wanted to do was go to the penalty shootout competition. Went down to the beach. My priorities were straight. I won the penalty competition on the beach, but I was in the sun all day. That night then I was in agony and could hardly sleep. Woke up the next day at third degree burns from the top of my deltoids to my elbows. I spent the full 2 weeks in the hotel, couldn't go out. Third degree burns in my arms. So I got my time in on a holiday, folks, soaking people from the third floor of the balcony with water. My mother's description of me whenever I was good, I was very good, but whenever I was bad, I was a menace. I seldom if ever listened and never stood still for any longer than a few seconds. And to this day, I think she's still fairly accurate. I had a real bad fall as a child. I fell down the stairs and broke my femur in half and spent 6 weeks in contraction and several months in plaster. My childhood was a good childhood. However, there were certain stages in my childhood that weren't so good. Me and my sister were subject to a bit of physical and mental abuse by an alcoholic stepfather, and this was not good at this time. I don't harbour any anger any longer, nor do I have any pain. I can see with open eyes darkest water and deepest pain. I wouldn't trade it for anything because my brokenness brought me to God, and this story is something he can use. I'm thankful for the scars because without them I wouldn't know who God is. I attended Abbots Cross Primary School and furthered my education in Monkstown Community School as a bit of a class clown, a bit of a joker and a bit of a raker. The normal school hours were from 9 to 3. Mine were always 9 to 5 because I was always kept behind. I did represent the school football team and was captain of the school football team, and we won the double for 5 years consecutive. Academically in school, I was strong, but I never really achieved anything from school due to behaviour and disciplinary problems. And I was dismissed from school for fighting more times than the bell rang. One story that I have from school then, our school at Monkstown at that time was operated by a buzzer system. The first couple of days of school, I managed to locate a buzzer. So I was buzzing myself in and out of school as of when I pleased. I used to buzz myself in the morning, get my mark, buzz myself straight back out, and then buzz myself back in just before lunchtime. Food is fuel, folks, and I was always going back for the lunch, the free meal. It was coming towards the end of my school years then when I started to do things and get into serious amounts of trouble. I was 16 years of age and had to flee for several months to Bangor to get offside until things settled. This trouble I was getting into wasn't going unrecognised, and it wasn't long before I ended up on people's radar who I never really wanted to be on. In September 2009, with constant pressure and persuasion from my family, I decided to enlist within the British Army. My family was hoping it would straighten me out. I joined the 1st Battalion Irish Guards and spent a total of 78 years. I enjoyed several deployments around the continent, ranging from France, Germany, Belgium, Oman, the Falklands, Cyprus and Switzerland. I reached the rank of corporal and was a PTI, a physical training instructor, also within my battalion. I started off in a fire support group, multiple, which specialised in the general purpose machine gun, mounted and dismounted. I really enjoyed the ceremonial side of things, which privileges meant we got to meet several members of the royal family. I was involved in guard mounts at Windsor Castle, Buckingham Palace, St James's Palace and the Tower of London. I was involved in the Queen's birthday parades annually, the royal wedding, and I also got to meet the Queen whenever she was last over visiting, unveiling a VC winner memorial. I even spent some time then within the military correction detention centre, or the glass house, which it was known, the army jail for discipline issues. I thoroughly enjoyed my time in the army and met some brothers for life. Now things are about to heat up, folks. Coming towards the end of my career then, I failed what was known as the CDT, the Combat Drugs Test, and I was discharged from the army. At that time then, we were expecting to have Archie, so I refused to go back to England and only would be agreed to be discharged via video link in Lisburn. It was at that time then that I began to run in the same circles that I once ran in and started to get involved with things I'm not proud of. I started to take the drink, the drugs, and get involved with a lot of things that I shouldn't. There are a lot of things that I can't say and won't mention for obvious reasons, but this was not good conduct on my behalf. I've repented to God about these things, and my assurance is in the death of His Son, Jesus Christ, that I've been forgiven and they've been cast into the sea of forgetfulness, never to return. If anyone be in Christ, all things are made new, and there is no condemnation for those that are in Christ. So within the space of 2 years, I lost everything due to a drink and drug addiction. I got a real blessing when learning about Job. Now, none of what Job lost was his own wrongdoing. However, I knew what it was like to have an experience of losing such things as friends, family, fitness, and finance. I lost it all, folks. There's been more people then. Oh, sorry. Mixed up. So at this time then, folks, this was an extremely difficult time for me. I'd lost everything and I felt I reached an all-time level of brokenness. There's been more people in Northern Ireland who have committed suicide due to drink, drugs and mental health problems than what there were killed during the entire length of time of the Troubles. That's not the worrying part. The worrying part is no one's doing anything about it. I myself was lost in searching, like most young people these days, and I took the drink and drugs for happiness and became sad. I took them for joy and became miserable. I took them for sociability and became argumentative. I took them for sophistication and became obnoxious. I took them for friends and made a lot of enemies. I took them to sleep and woke up tired. I took them for strength and became weak. I took them to meditate inside my thoughts and became shaken and paranoid. I took them for courage and became afraid. I took them for confidence and they made me feel worthless. I took them for conversations and could only slur my words. You see the pattern forming here, folks? They never brought me any good. They will never bring you any good. They're the devil's handiwork. They're crippling the community. They're killing our youth. They're destroying the families. They're corrupting our society and they're sucking the life out of the next generation. They're ruining lives. I lived in the world. It made me distressed. I looked within and became depressed. But I finally looked at Christ and found rest, perfect peace and rest. I tried several times then, at taking my own life. Did I want to die? Of course not. But at that time, I felt like it was my only option. On Sunday the 8th of June, I was bundled into the back of a car and rushed to White Abbey Hospital. I was then transferred to Antrim Area Hospital, where I was immediately rushed to the resuscitation suite. I was in the biggest battle of my life, and it was for my life. I'd taken a powerful drug overdose and it's only by the sheer grace of God that I stand before you this evening. I remember drifting in and out of consciousness, and when I was conscious you can be sure that I was pleading to God for my life. My heart was given up on me. They had sent word out to my extended family that it was a good idea to come to the hospital. My heart had finally felt the pressure of the abuse I'd been putting it through. I had a serious addiction. I was using it as a crutch for many different issues that I was having and problems. Pressures of my childhood, the army, my discharge, and the pressures of life. And it was nearly the end of me, folks. I emphasise it was nearly the end of me. You aren't getting rid of me that quick. I pleaded to God for my life, and that's whenever I had my first encounter with God. I spent that entire day in the woods at hospital, in the woods. And whilst my mother and my sister were allowed to come to the hospital bed, they came. And I heard my mum's phone going, and I says, "Mum, who's that?" And she says, "It's Matthew." Now, Matthew's my cousin. And I'd reached out to Matthew several weeks prior to that, saying to him that I needed help. And whenever I met him, I noticed that there was something different about him than me. And the scripture tells us that I am the light of the world. He that believes in me shall never walk in darkness, but have the light of life. And Matthew had that. And I'd reached out to him, and I told him I was really, really struggling. And he says, "You should come to church." So here's me lying in a hospital bed, fighting for my life, and there's Matthew texting to see if I'm going to church. Crazy. They then moved me onto the heart ward whenever they managed to stabilise me. And whilst I was spent the evening on the heart ward, I get up to go to the toilet, and I checked the top drawer of the cabinet that was beside my bed, and there was a Gideon's New Testament Bible. I took the Bible out and I placed it underneath my pillow. Now, I didn't know why I'd done that, but I'd done it. My mum then left the hospital with my belongings, and she went home, not knowing, and placed my belongings in her Bible. My mum was saved at one point, but backslid. So she placed my belongings in my Bible, or in her Bible, and left it on my bed. I spent 2 weeks in hospital, and I promised God as soon as I was strong enough to stand and walk that I was going to get right for him, with him, for carrying me through that difficult day. I attended church once in hospital. As soon as I was released from hospital then, I was released from hospital on Friday the 22nd of June. Little did I know that my life would change forever. I went home then, and my mum had decided to go away for the weekend and give me some space to settle back into the house. So I went straight up the stairs and seen the Bible sitting and sat in my bed. I looked at it and I broke my heart. I broke down crying. Because whenever you're in that situation, folks, you don't realise the damage, the extent of the damage you're doing to those around you. And it's generally those closest to you who you're hurting. So I had to get in contact with Matthew. God often uses people who we need to, who he can use people to reach out to people. And I don't know now. Matthew's my cousin. He's also one of my best friends. I love him very much, but we weren't close. Matthew was always very, like, a good boy and was always stuck to his football. And I don't think he was maybe allowed to play with me when we were younger. But I had to get in touch with Matthew, folks. So I got in touch with him and we went to Nando's. Now, those of you that know me, Nando's is my favourite place in the world to eat. Couldn't eat a bite, folks. Something was working on me. I then went to Costa again. Couldn't even drink my coffee, and I broke down crying in the middle of Costa Coffee at Abbey Centre in front of everybody. Now, growing up with it, the way I grew up, it was always, you're always thought of as being weak for showing emotions, but it's okay to show emotions, it's okay to have feelings, folks. We're robots, we weren't sent here not to have emotions and feelings. And I broke down crying, and Matthew says, "I think that you need to go to the church." And I says, "I agree that we would." It was then Matthew brought me over to the Abbot's Cross here at 9:30 on the Friday evening. We weren't expecting anybody to be here, but the pastor was working with the youth at that time for the band for the service on the following day. I went straight in. Now, I wasn't dressed for the occasion. I had a skinhead, tattooed from head to toe. I still had the bracelets on from the hospital and was wearing a pair of diesel flip-flops. So the pastor, when he must have seen me walking up the church, must have went, "There's some header walking into the church." And he was right, because there was some header walking into the church. So I went into that back room, folks, and it's there that I was saved and gave my life to the Lord. I was slightly afraid coming from my background, but one of the most powerful weapons God has given us for conquering fear is the ability to personalise his promise. Do not be afraid. You are mine. When you go through deep waters and great trouble, I will be with you. When you go through rivers of difficulty, you will not drown. When you go through the fire of oppression, the flames will not consume you, for I am the Lord your God. The door to God is the insecurity of not knowing anything. Bear the grace of that uncertainty, and all wisdom will be yours. A verse of that little hymn that we sing sometimes sums it up. Jesus paid it all. Being so overwhelmed with pain, hurt, sorrow, sin, shame, guilt, and embarrassment, I cried out to the Lord Jesus Christ for mercy, repenting of my sin, and asked him to save me. At that very moment, something changed forever. The moment I was saved, something happened that I can't describe with words. The light was turned on inside of my soul. The Holy Spirit entered through my body and washed me clean. My body rattled from head to toe. The presence of God became so overwhelming, streams of tears flooded my cheeks. At that time, I'd reached an all-time level of loneliness and brokenness, and I believe it was God's way of removing everything in my life, so the last thing I had to do was look to Him. I completely admitted, repented, and surrendered everything I had to God. I gave God access to every area of my heart, soul, mind, and strength. God tore the rags I was wearing and placed me in a robe of righteousness. God lifted me out of the deepest, darkest hole of despair and desperation and called me His own. Free at last, free at last. For the first time in my life, I felt like I was good enough. I'd found home at last in Christ. I took refuge in the loving hands of Jesus. Ice was redeemed and only beauty remained, and my orphan heart was given a name. My mourning grew quiet and my feet rose to dance. Released from my chains, I was a prisoner no more, and my shame was a ransom He faithfully bore. Death had finally been arrested, and my life had just begun. I could see clearly. I could hear clearly. Nothing was uncertain. There was no confusion. I was a child of God. Hallelujah. For whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. I remember thinking to myself, this is me, I'm saved, I'm never going to sin again. How wrong was I? How foolish and stupid. I fail the Lord miserably time and time again. I get to the stage sometimes where I pray, Lord, I hate myself. Again, anyone that tells you Christianity is easy, check their temperature. It's anything but easy, and at times it can be very difficult, but all we can do is trust in the promises of His word, that He will finish what He has started. I am still fairly new in my faith, folks, and I'm still learning daily, but one thing I feel right now is I just need to relax and settle into my walk with God. I feel I'm trying to reach out and do a lot of things which I shouldn't be doing. And right now it's important for me just to be still and listen to God and what God wants me to do with my life. I need to settle, ground myself and start enjoying my salvation. I need to also stop trying to play God in my life and let God be God. Yet I found one thing that has never changed throughout my walk with God. His faithfulness and love throughout, and God never lets go of His children. C.T. Studd said, if Jesus Christ be God and died for me, then no sacrifice can be too great for me to make for Him. Your salvation is free, but it will cost you everything. It's not easy by any stretch of imagination, but the God in the mountains is still the same God in the valleys. Now, everything wasn't rosy in the garden from I was saved, but the Lord showed me a path and a way to go which redirected my life and made straight paths for my feet. I was in trouble at that time for several ongoing small, there were minor issues, but I was in trouble with the police. I went and pleaded guilty straight away to the police. Now, I'm not standing here before you claiming to be an outlaw, which I'm not, but I had a few things going on that needed addressed. I went to every single court appearance, and I got some support from the pastor with a letter, and the judge dropped every single charges and gave me a £100 court compensation fee. I don't have a criminal record, folks. I still had a lot of work to do at that time because I wasn't allowed to see my son. So I had to go to every single doctor appointment because of my physical and mental state and get clearance to get access to Archie. I get emotional every time I really sit down and think about this. It's just that I'm so grateful to God for what He's done in my life. I'm grateful for where I am. And I was never a bad father. But my favourite thing in the world at the moment, folks, is loving the Lord and spending time with my son. To spend time with them and just go into our own wee zone, taking time out to laugh and play and watch him develop into a beautiful young boy is truly humbling. You can spend your life trying to be successful in things that don't matter. A man once said that riches are like seawater. The more a man drinks, the more a man thirsts. A preacher once says, you'll appreciate his alliteration here, you can have your buildings, your barns, your banks, your Bentleys or even your boats, but you were born into this world with nothing and you will leave with nothing. When I was a sinner, I had full control of my life and messed it up. I'd spent decades of my life fulfilling it with temporary satisfactions to permanent problems. What I thought I needed and what I actually needed were two different things. I needed Jesus. I've got Him. He's with me everywhere I go. I've gave Him all the glory. I now look at the world with only one view, that this is only a footstool into the kingdom of heaven and we are only passing by. Failure isn't only always fatal. There's one thing that makes failure fatal, and that's pride. And the Bible said that God resists the proud, but He gives grace to the humble. There is a reason the armour of God is placed only on the front of your body, as God always has your back. The only way to look up is up. The best directions you'll ever seek in life is to seek God. If you're here this evening and maybe you're afraid of what others might think, maybe you're a young lad and can relate parts of your life to mine, don't worry about what others think. The Bible says, walk with the wise and become wise, run with fools and risk being destroyed. I'd rather stand up for what I believe in, and I'd rather stand with God than run with the crowd to self-destruction. Having a faith doesn't make you a coward, it makes you a man. It takes courage, there's no doubt. Any fish can go with the tide, but only good salmons go against it. Any fool can get drunk, folks. Any fool can take drugs and fight and do bad things. But it's better to stand with God and be judged by the world than stand with the world and be judged by God. I don't deserve his love, but he's always been there for me. See, Jesus met me whenever I was at my lowest. And if you don't know Jesus, know this. Jesus is the greatest example of generosity this world of greed has ever seen. When Jesus hit the scenes, he met diversity with eternity. If you're looking for peace, he offers plenty. Jesus was, and Jesus will always be king. And when the angels sing, they sing of the grace that was displayed for sinners like me. I can't describe him, I can't explain him. And if I could, he wouldn't be Jesus, because you can't explain eternity. And we can't comprehend the fine-tuning of the galaxy, but it was the loving hands of Jesus that spun them into existence and created mankind, knowing that he would go to the cross to pay our sentence. Maybe you're here this evening, you're going through something, and it's getting the better of you. Depression, anxiety, drink, drugs, gambling, domestic abuse, violence, addictions, or whatever, I don't know. But you don't have to be alone, folks. I travel the country going to doctors, counsellors, drug counsellors, family counsellors, community mental health teams, community addiction teams. I went to them all and they didn't help me. The greatest physician I know is Jesus. Jesus brought me from life to death. Jesus brought me from dark to light. Jesus broke the addictions and strongholds and fear in my life. Jesus adopted me into his family. Jesus removed the furniture of my old heart and placed his own furniture in. Jesus removed the fighting and the bad temper. And Jesus healed my broken heart. The best way to heal a broken heart is to give Jesus all the pieces. Jesus gave me meaning, purpose, faith and direction in life, folks. Thank you very much for listening. God bless.